Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What happens in this life and in this world when things are left alone? Simply think of a piece of bread left out on your counter. Or think of a farmhouse left untouched for decades. Think of that favorite car that has been left out in the rain for years. When things are left alone, do they get better or worse over time? Of course, they get worse when left alone. And ever since the fall into sin, this has been the way of the world. It takes work, it takes effort to maintain the good things that we have. In a broken world without help, things get worse, and they get bad. And in the thousands of years, this world's existence, things have not improved fully nor completely. And yet this world continues to support life. We're able to still live in God's created world. We can look around, we can evaluate, and we can see that mankind has not ridded this world of sickness, of pain, of hatred, of anger, of suffering, of death. And yes, in some ways we have made life easier, more comfortable for all of us to enjoy, and yet there are still billions in this world that live without those great improvements. Dictators still lord it over others, whether elected to office or eliminating the competition. Many unbelievers in this world cannot fathom belief in a God when there is so much that is wrong all around us. That assumes, though, that this world should be, by its very nature, a neutral sort of place. How could a good God allow such misery, such suffering, when he has the power to intervene and to stop it? It is often asked. Surely a good God with all that power and with his love and his mercy would bring an end to all tribulation. So because we still have these struggles, there must not be such a good God, the thinking goes. But really, what would this world be like without a good God? What if human beings, who are not even close to perfection, were left alone to do as they thought was right and good? With no moral absolutes to guide, everyone would do what they felt was right in their own imperfect eyes, as the mantra from the book of Judges goes. With no true determiner of what is good, mankind would always be at odds with one another. As Christians, we believe the Bible, that is God's word, that tells us this is not how God intended his creation to be. Everything was very good in his sight. He made it pure and clean and whole before we fell into sin. And ever since then, we have been cursed. Death is what follows sin. Lifespans have dramatically dwindled throughout the sin-racked centuries. Later generations have learned some from the previous generations and determined not to make the same mistakes of our ancestors. We wind up making new mistakes. And as following generations neglect to learn from those who have come before them, they return to making the same mistakes that were made in the past. On and on. This cycle goes, spiraling more and more downward and not upward, moving farther and farther away from the true center of all that is good and right and true, the one true God. And this defies the basic thought of evolutionary thought, that things are improving, that things are getting better, and not worse. But into the midst of all of this chaos and this disorder steps the Creator of all things. None of this has ever been out of His control. God does not react to matters that have caught Him by surprise or taken Him off guard. He's always the actor. Everything that happens in this world is under His guidance, His ultimate power. And that should be a great comfort to us floundering mortals. Our intro for today kicked off that very awesome thought. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. The Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth and all things, certainly has the power to right all wrongs. So why does He allow the chaos and the destruction that He does allow? We cannot peer into the mind of God and know the why behind all that we experience. But what we can do, and what God gives us the power to do, is to trust in His goodness, that He loves us, and that He allows all these things to happen for our ultimate good, which St. Paul highlights for us in Romans chapter 8. It was said before that the Creator stepped into the midst of all this chaos that is around us. That would imply, however, that He was not necessarily present before, but more accurate would be the saying that God has actually always been present throughout everything. But we, in our limited perceptions, only tend to perceive God when He brings an end to our sufferings and to our struggles in this life. When we see the miracles that God performs, the wondrous deeds, then we have a sense of His nearer presence. The crowds who followed after Jesus were truly mesmerized by the great miracles that He performed, the great signs that were out of the ordinary. And yet what was true is that God was present with them all the time. He was always constantly working in each and every one of them, as He is in each and every one of us at all times. God enables you to take every single step that you take. He empowers your brain to process those images that come in through the lenses of the miracle, which are your eyes. God Almighty causes the earth to spin and to carry on with the proper seasons needed to provide for lives in this world and our livelihoods. And so what truly floors the disciples of the Lord Jesus in today's gospel text is that man, Jesus Himself. There they were, again in the Sea of Galilee, well known for its suddenly violent storms. And there was Jesus doing what? Sleeping. In the back of the boat. And we're not talking about a big ship in the midst of a small sea. We're talking about a fishing boat. Now, who does that? Waves were crashing into the boat, no doubt felt by all who were there. Water already spilling in over the sides, causing these grown-up men, disciples, who were not to fear anything, to be afraid for their lives. They knew they were going to die. "Teacher," they cry out, "do you not care that we are perishing?" Terrible. What a terrible storm it must have been. Yes, several of those disciples were well experienced in those storms of the Sea of Galilee. And yes, every one of those disciples knew well the power of their God present. And their memories, those brains that God had given them, were the words of God to Job from our Old Testament text for today. "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding? Or who shut in the sea with doors as if such a thing could happen? And yet God has done it. When it burst out from the womb, when I made clouds its garment and prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors. Present in the minds of those disciples would be that story of Jonah, how God had easily calmed that great storm as soon as Jonah was thrown overboard into the sea. They were no strangers to the power of God over all things, but what was strange to them was Jesus asleep in the back of the boat. And when roused from his sleep, Jesus rebuked the wind, as if the wind had ears to hear. He yelled at the sea, "Peace, be still." And it did. It listened, as though it were some kind of sentient being. The wind ceased. There was a great calm, instantly. These disciples were honestly perplexed by Jesus. They feared him, and yet they could not take their eyes off of him. They could not leave his side. They could not understand yet the God-man in their midst, asleep on the cushion in the back of the boat was the Word of God made flesh. And while the Scriptures clearly teach that God never slumbers or sleeps, there he was, sleeping in the back of the boat. And yet even while he was sleeping, he was in full control. Even sleep, for the divine mortal, Jesus, was not an issue. All was still at his command. Left alone, those disciples would truly suffer and struggle with no power whatsoever over sea, over storm, over wind. But they were not alone. They were never alone. Jesus was and truly is with them. He dwelt with them, indeed as their master, their teacher, their friend. And that is who Jesus is, the true master of all things, the giver of life, the forgiver of all sin, the savior from death and everlasting destruction. As master and commander of all things, the Lord Jesus is truly worthy of our fear and worthy of our love. Yes, he is justly angered by our sin and yet fully pacified by his own gracious work for us upon the cross. That storm in the sea did not take Jesus by surprise. He knew it was coming. He even allowed it to come. And as the good and gracious God that he truly is, we can even comfortably and boldly say he caused it to come. For such a moment truly shows forth the power of God, the power of Christ Jesus over everything that you and I face even today. He who could calm that storm of the sea with just his own word has certainly forgiven you all of your sin by that same word of his mouth. He is your master, your commander, your brother in the flesh who loves you now and forevermore. Amen. And the peace that does pass all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and to life everlasting. Amen.